The following Bass Talk Live iTunes podcast is brought to you by Lowrance.
BTL, coming at you.
Bass Cat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFCO, and Duckett Fishing. Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing, and the fans are going to talk bass fishing and anything else that they or us want to talk about. Matthew, how you doing?
What do you think the over-under is? We'll get a bowling call today.
I don't know, man, but last night was a freak experience.
For you?
Yeah.
A freak experience. Let me see. I have no idea what you were doing last night.
I had a late workout last night.
Late workout?
Yeah.
Like at the lanes?
Yeah.
So you were practicing for the senior tour?
Yeah.
All right. What happened?
Late workout. This is week number 9.
Did you bowl a 300?
Dude, I strung together. Now, granted, I mean, this is just practice and I'm working
Did
on a bunch
of stuff.
Did
you bowl a 300?
No, listen to me. I strung together 26 consecutive strikes.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, how many's a game?
12.
Were you bowled?
Yeah, 26 consecutive.
Perfect games in a row?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Like, did it, like, totally just legit? Like, bowled
totally
two games
legit, yeah.
And you bowled?
I mean, I bowled 12 games last night, and there was a stretch there where I had 26 strikes in a row.
Did people start gathering?
No, there was nobody there.
Do you have it on video?
I mean, there was a worker. No.
I taught you how to GoPro that stuff.
I know. I didn't want to film last night. I was working on something that totally irrelevant to film.
You know now in 2019, if it's not on film, it never happened.
Whatever.
26 consecutive. Yeah. Is that the longest in your life?
That I can remember, yeah. Even when I was a kid.
What did it feel like?
It's weird because the game has changed so much. It's like going out and having 20 pounds of smallmouth on Lake Erie or something.
Well, that's pretty easy to do.
Exactly. So I mean, the game has really changed to where that stuff happens all the time now.
26 consecutive?
Yeah.
So, like, when did you realize you're in the midst of this streak?
Well, after I got to 12, I was like, huh.
You just bowled a 300.
I was like, okay, how many more can I keep throwing? And then I threw 5 more, and then I threw 5 more.
Like, did you know it was going to be a strike when it came off your hand every time? Or were you like, I can't believe this is still happening?
Yeah. I mean, there was some... Every shot was in the pocket. In other words, I didn't have a Brooklyn or some, you know, backdoor strike or
anything.
So
then what happened
on
27?
Solid 10.
What's that mean?
Left a 10 pin. Solid 10 pin. Was right in the pocket.
And then did you hit more strikes right after that?
No. And then I went washout. And then I went strike.
You weren't like kind of looking around going, huh.
No, there were a couple people in there. But no. I'm telling you, dude, like I said, it's like going out and catching 20 pounds on a very, very, very easy lake.
You just don't hear very many guys bowling two perfect games in a row.
Dude, Brad Miller did it in the PBA event at the last tournament.
Well, congratulations. That's got to be a good confidence boost.
It's just things are clicking right now. And if I could just get my body in shape, you know, my back is sore, my hand, my wrist, my elbow, my shoulder, all good. It's just my back. And that's just an age thing. Exactly. So, you know, the trainer's working with me. Dude,
you're like Tiger
I'm,
before a round now. You're going to have to get on the table for an hour or two before
I'm just telling you, I'm all in. But that is not that big a deal in today's game.
I think that's a pretty big deal.
It's not. It happens all the time, and it's all about putting in the effort. And, dude, I'm so far behind. It's like guys, and there's lures and there's techniques. Mm-hmm. That so many people that aren't at the professional level don't understand how to use particular lures a certain way. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah.
Like the proper way and really the technique about throwing a drop shot in either shallow water or deep water.
You just got everything dialed in.
Dude, I'm so far behind from an equipment standpoint mm-hmm. and learning the techniques and learning different releases and ball speed. And it's the same thing.
It's the same thing as fishing. YouTube or
yeah,
you call
there's a
people?
Dude out there. There's a dude out there. His name's Mo Pinnell. And he's like...
So is he like the tactical Bassin of YouTube for bowling?
He is the czar for bowling ball layouts.
Okay, so he's like the tactical Bassin of...
But once again, there's so many similar. I'm just cool. telling you, it's not that big a deal. Not, but anyway,
not quite as big of news as your 26th straight. But there is a bass tournament that started today.
Yes, there is.
A little sarcasm there.
Yeah,
it's kind of a big one. $300,000 on the line. 30 guys.
I
Lacrosse,
know, the
Wisconsin.
Feed just went away. I was watching it, and now it's gone. I don't know what happened. Let me
Red Crest.
Yeah.
All 30 guys, first 2 days. Then they haven't really discussed how they're going to seed them, but there's 10 guys that'll fish on the third day, 10 guys that'll fish on the fourth day, and then the top five from those.
Yeah.
Final 10 get a ride around on pool seven. Then they go down there and fish for $300,000.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of money. First one to win the title. Everybody's going to remember the first one. You agree with that? Everybody's going to remember the first champion.
Yeah. Who was the first MLF world champion?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Let me think. Jacob Wheeler?
No.
Mike Iaconelli?
No.
hang on here.
I'm pretty sure. Was it Bobby Lane?
It was Bobby Lane. That is correct.
And then it was Greg Hackney?
I think that is correct.
And then it was Jacob Wheeler.
Okay.
Might have been missing one in there.
I'm talking about the Red Crest.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the World
Championship. I would think everyone would remember the winner of the Red Crest. I mean, if it becomes what MLF has said and is hoping that it will become.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be like Las Vegas and Lake Mead when Ray Scott put everyone on the plane.
Yeah.
In the first classic.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Good
we'll
point.
See.
All right. So, today, man, a special show. It is the Sunline Hotline Show. We do this about once a month, once every 6 or 7 weeks. And we want to hear from you. And I think I have the system set up now to where we're not going to have the irritating call waiting noise.
No beeps. Callers should be able to hear me and you very clearly.
So we want to hear from you. Today's show is about the fan. We want to get your take on anything in the world of bass fishing, professional bass fishing, or anything else. This show is about the fan, Matthew.
We got a number? That would help.
Oh yeah. And by the way, if you're watching over on YouTube, the phone number is not on the screen. It is on the instant feedback, and it is over on the BTL page on BassZone.com. But if you're watching on YouTube, here's the number. It's 405-253-5543. Give us a call if you're watching over on YouTube, or if you're watching us on the mothership, that would be BassZone.com. Give us a call, 405-253-5543. Hey, we're ready. We're ready to take calls now. Hopefully, we'll have a few number of calls. Heck, I might even give some stuff away today. Somebody said, why don't you give away some gym socks, Mark? Making fun of me. You know, old sweatshirts, gym socks, old hats.
I might have a fresh spool of Sunline.
All right, there.
It is the Sunline Hotline.
I don't have. What, I've got four rolls up there for my personal use.
Spools. We call them spools in fishing.
Oh, what'd I say?
A roll? That's either...
that's old school, Matthew.
Just getting you back in the game there, Mark. What is that? Is that
four rolls?
Is that nylon?
Yeah, we use that for dental floss back
There's
in the day,
new,
Matthew.
This new material called out. It's called Gorilla Braid.
Hey, Greg,
it's often been used in salt water. This guy's using it for flipping. It has no stretch. It works well in grass. Yeah. What's it called? Braided line.
Yeah. Greg in, I'm not sure what state Greg's in, wants to know, who do you like in fantasy fishing this week, Matthew?
That is a very good question.
Because we have our first call here.
We have our first call. I think it's hard. You got to go Hartman. I don't care what percentage. See, I'm going for points, people, not percentages. So I do it on my phone when I first make my team, so you can't even see the percentage next to it, and I don't look at any of the pundits' picks. I pick my team on my phone, and then I go back, but I don't ever change it.
Yeah.
Jamie Hartman is a no-brainer. He's a safe pick.
Okay.
He'll be in the top 35. Seth Fider. He'll be in the top 35. Those are two. Then I'm leaning heavily towards Florida guys.
Okay.
And I'm going to go Florida guys that are kind of on a roll. I think if you don't want to go fighter, Drew Cook is a very solid pick, who's now third in the Angler of the Year leader. I mean,
yeah,
guys who flip that deep grass. Remember what Hackney's done up there?
Oh, yeah.
Guys who are familiar with that cleaner water. I got Chad Morgenthaler on my team. He spent a lot of time down in Florida. He's had his mobile home down there. He's done really well in Florida. And then in the E group, that's a crapshoot bucket right now. And I'm going with Carl again. He's got to catch him eventually. And here's why.
We have somebody waiting.
Yeah, that's fine. I guess it's 2 seconds, though. This is insider fantasy fishing information. Okay. There's a lake in Oklahoma. Carl lived with Gene Eisenman down in Texas.
Yeah.
Just an hour from Lake Murray in South Oklahoma. Lake Murray, what is it? Clear water, deep clear water, deep hydrilla edges, deep grass combination, largemouth, smallmouth. Okay. Carl has spent a lot of time on that fishery over the past 5 or 6 years, throwing a glide bait and punching that hydrilla. I have fished Cayuga before with a number of different guys, spent like 3 or 4 days out there actually fishing, and it sets up a lot like Lake Murray does.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phones. The first phone call of the day. Hey, who is this?
Hey, this is Corey from Illinois.
Corey, how are you, man?
Good. I was just wondering if Pranger got the hook out of his finger.
Why don't you fill everybody in on that first, and then you can respond.
All right, so we go to the Spro Media event, and we get the Spin John 80s, right, which is John Cruise's new spy bait. And I mean, I'm like ADHD, so I like took it out of the pack, and it's just been sitting in my cup holder. So I was like just messing with it while I'm driving, and it's got like Aaron's trebles, those real kind of fine wire nano coated trebles. And I'm messing around with it, and I drop it behind the seat. And I'm like, oh, I need to reach back and get that so it doesn't get caught in the carpet. Well, I had it free and clear, and I'm pulling it back up, and the back treble catches on the back of my seat. And it's kind of slick on the side of the bait, and the front treble goes right through my index finger. You can see it on my – I posted it on my Instagram. It's just at Matt Pangrack.
So did you do the line trick?
No. So here I am driving. I got one hand. My other hand is behind the seat. The back treble stuck in the bottom of the seat, and the front treble stuck in my finger, way past the barb. So I'm like hogtied. So I like pull off the road, get off on the exit.
Is this on the turnpike?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I get off on an exit. I'm like slowing down, and I like reach back and I finagle the back treble hook out, and I'm like, yep, nope, it's in there. Which is weird because it didn't hurt. I mean, it barely felt it. Like I
got you.
Utmost confidence in those treble hooks. Now, this is not a sales pitch because it cut through that figure like butter, and then it's got a tiny little barb and it would not come out.
All right.
So then I pull off and I'm like, oh, it's got that tiny barb. I'll be able to pop it out. No, I wasn't able to pop it out. So I drove to my girlfriend's house. I just went straight to the barn and I got the wire snips. And I told her, I said, we need to get this back treble hook off. Then I had her cut the split ring. Then I cut the points off of the two. There's one fishing rod at her house that's got 20-pound braid on a spinning rod. Had her cut a 3-foot section, line tricked myself, good as new.
All right, there you have it. Jeez.
But yeah, it was in my hand for probably 30, 45 minutes.
Just driving down the turnpike
with a spy bait stuck in my index finger.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I got it out there, Corey.
I'm making a drive today, and I had a flopper in here near my cup holder, and I actually removed it, so I was not tempted after seeing your video. So it was a good PSA for everyone driving.
I felt like an idiot, but at the same time, I was like laughing at myself. I was like, this is just... I know I'm not the first guy who's done it, because I'm always like, you know, you mess around with a new bait, or like especially like you get like a mega bass jerk bait at Bass Pro or something. Yeah. What's the first thing you do? You get in there, you get it out of the package, you shake it, you're like holding it, you're looking at it in the sun while you're driving home from Bass Pro Shops. And I'm like, man, there's like 9 points on this thing. If I get like hit or in an accident, people are going to be like, oh, there's an accident. And why does this guy have a fishing lure in his hand? So,
all right. Anything else?
That's all I got today.
All right, man. Where are you headed to?
Thank you.
Where are you headed, Corey?
Iowa.
Okay.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
All right, man.
I live right near where Matt grew up.
Decatur.
Go to church with his parents.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Farmer.
Yes, sir.
Right. Big combine, Central Illinois farm. You ever seen those? You ever been in a combine?
I've not. No.
They're like all, they're just like a bass boat now, aren't they? Like all GPS coordinates, waypoints, set your course, the whole nine yards.
You just let it, press a button, let it eat.
Yeah, it's just like live scope now. It's the live scope of farming.
Jeez.
It gives you real-time information. You can watch what's happening. If you're not in the combine, you can watch it from your iPad, tell what's going on, how it's performing. It's pretty neat.
Technology. So. All right, man, be careful.
All right, thanks, guys. Good luck at U.S. Open, Matt.
I'm not fishing it this year, dude.
You're not fishing yet?
I got a coast on Lake of the Ozarks that gets over with on Saturday. The U.S. Open starts on Monday.
He could, maybe.
I remember getting a phone call from your mother trying to figure out if you had won last year. In a little panic.
Yeah, they couldn't figure out what the standings were on the website or something like that.
Oh, that's on me then.
Yeah.
All right.
It wasn't your fault. They were focused on the boater side.
Yeah. All right. Take care, man. See ya. All right.
Calling me out for the hook and the finger. I mean, I did post it. It is pretty funny, though.
All right.
I mean, it did. It stuck.
Did it really?
And the weird thing is I never felt like you've got a hook in your hand, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it goes in and it hurts. This did not hurt at all.
Have you ever had to go to the ER?
Yeah, when I was younger, the very first one that I got, I was walking down. I was like probably 12 and I had a crankbait on. I was walking down. We were camping at Lake Shelbyville and I was walking through the woods, you know, and I got the rod stuck at a tree. And I really wanted to get down there, and the bait got stuck. And instead of taking it off, I just got frustrated, and I pulled it, and the thing shot back right into my thigh.
Oh, geez.
And I had jeans on. So we had to cut around it, and, you know, we didn't know the line trick back then or anything. So I had to go in, and they, like, you know, just scalpel and cut it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too long ago I had to go to the ER. You remember that? I did it here in the studio with that rattle trap
or something. Yeah, yeah. And I did it, like four months ago. I was cleaning the shop out where I have all my baits. And I put a plopper hook, or no, I put a jerkbait hook completely through my middle finger because I had it hanging on one of those pegs.
Yeah.
And I like put a piece of plastic, hang a plastic up and went down to get more plastic. And as my hand swung down, boom, right through the finger.
All right. Here is the phone number again for you YouTube viewers, 405-253-5543. Give us a call. There were a couple of people called, but I had the DND on there and it seems to be working, Matthew.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, no noise. What else, man? I mentioned a couple things about your thesis yesterday to a couple of buddies of mine, and I'm still going to continue the mad props for coming up with the hub and spoke system for Brian Thrift and the way that he attacks and the way that you described his tactics on how he fishes, and a number of people that I spoke with totally agree 100%. So mad props once again for you coming up with that system.
And like I said before the show, it only works if you can find a hub. That's a key point there. Brian always finds the hub to build the spokes off of.
Yeah.
But if you don't find a hub, you're kind of screwed.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Who is this?
Mike Lusano from New York.
Mike, how are you, man?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm big. I like MLF. Big fan of MLF. Actually, I was a Bass Nation president, so I'm a fan of both circuits. You know, all that stuff going on. But the seating that they're going to do for the championship seems a little ridiculous. I mean, this isn't a made-for-TV event. This is to determine who's going to be the world champion. And I guess I'm not really thrilled with the fact that they're going to seed anglers and they're not fishing against the entire field.
How are they going to, have you found anywhere on how they're going to determine what their seeds are? Like what 10 are going to fish on the third day and what 10 are going to fish on the fourth day?
Well, I thought it was 10 and 10 or 5 and 5.
No, it's 10 and 10. They're seeding them.
Right.
After the first 2 days, they cut 10 and there's 20 and then 10 fish on day 3, 10 fish on day 4. But I get that, but I don't understand how they're seeding those 10. Like, is it going to be the bottom or 1 and 10 and 2 or 1 and 19 and 2 and 18 and 3? Or like, I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do you know, Mike?
No, they've not. I haven't seen anything published on that. And that's, And I guess that whole thing, though, it just takes away from the what a championship, at least what we've grown up seeing as a championship. I mean, you've qualified for the championship, and depending on where you're seated, you may or may not have the same shot. Well, it's not a may or may not. You're not going to have the same shot that everybody else has.
I agree, but I will also say this. They've done it all year long in their qualifying format to get to the Red Crest on the BPT, where you're in Group A or you're in Group B, and I guarantee there are anglers who, had they been in Group B instead of Group A, would have moved on, or had they been in Group B and A instead of B, would have moved on. So this kind of sticks with the general theme of their format, and I also understand one of the main reasons why they had to do that seeding thing was because they wanted everybody on days 3, 4, and 5 to have a camera in the boat.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I agree with, I do agree with that. I understand the premise of that. I guess this also leads to one other complaint I have, is that, you know, I haven't heard anything yet what the logistics are going to be as far as getting the AAA set up. I mean, how, if they can't get 80 of the best anglers on the water right now at one time, how are they going to handle a 100 boat field or a 200 boat field?
That's
I'm struggling with that.
It's a great point, great question, and I think the entire tournament fishing world and fans are waiting to see what they're going to do.
I'm struggling with it, aren't you, Mark?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought by now we would have had it. It's been a full year.
And I know the focus is on what they're doing this year, but at the same time, like any other business, I mean, you have to be thinking about the future, and I think this is a very, very important part of what the future of Major League Fishing is how are they going to develop their minor league feeder system?
Agree 100%.
So,
and maybe, you know, we always see announcements at the Classic, we see announcements at the Forest Wood Cup. Maybe we'll see an announcement this week at Red Crest at some point.
Maybe.
Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. I love the show.
All right. Thanks, man.
Bye.
All right. He's always on the show. Mm-hmm.
Valid question. So I had the exact same questions as far as how does that seating work? Are you going to end up with one? How do you do that? How do you seed them? Like, you obviously are going to have 1 through 20, right? But then it doesn't make sense if you have 1 through 10 all fishing in the top 5 and then 10 through 15 fishing in the top 5. So do you have like 1, 19, then they're in a group, 2, or 1, 20, 2, 19, 3, 18, so on and so forth?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Hell, they might just do a random draw.
I don't know. All right, back to the phones. Who is this?
Hey, this is CJ, Columbus, Ohio.
CJ, what's up today, man?
Hey, you know, I've been thinking from a tourism standpoint, what would the economic incentive be for a city or a host town to bring MLF in? Are they going to – do they want to showcase numbers of fish, or would they rather showcase, you know, big sacks of fish? St. Lawrence River, 25-pound sack of smallmouth. That's impressive. I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think the selling point would be, from an MLF perspective, is they are showcasing how many fish are in that body of water or the groups of lakes that they're using at a specific event, to where, you know, the younger kids, maybe, you know, people are just interested in catching numbers rather than big fish. Now, think about the one event that they had that took place during the spawn in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they caught some big fish at that event. I mean, obviously the moon and stars and everything was in the right place for that to take place. But I think that area of lakes, as Marty Stone said, they get a lot of traffic anyway, but once again, it's people that are outside of the local area that may not know about the bodies of water that they're fishing on, these smaller bodies of water, that gives the community that they're at more exposure from a number standpoint. And then every now and then you have the situation that occurred with what took place in North Carolina.
Sure.
All right. I totally get it. Yeah, hang on one second. What you said about the SLR, I think, is 100% true, because I truly believe that the vast majority of people out there They want to catch the biggest fish that they can possibly catch. Do you agree with that, Matthew?
No.
The way the tendencies are right now. So you don't think that people flocked to Lake Fork when everybody was catching 7s, 8s, 9s, and 10s back in the 90s and 2000s, that was the whole reason that people were flocking to Lake Fork? Because they wanted to catch a double-digit fish.
I think there was it seemed like a larger percentage in year because you were in the tournament circle with hardcore anglers. I think your average angler, and I say this because I'm friends with a lot of guides.
Yeah.
Casey Scanlon, Kurt Dove. Their clients are often very happy when they can go out and catch 35 1 to 2 pounders.
I'm not disagreeing with that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the major objective. Why do people go to Lake Fork? Because they want to catch a double digit fish. Why did people flock to Falcon Lake after the Elite Series was at Falcon Lake?
To catch big fish. But at the same time, there's also a ton of people who want to go out on Lake of the Ozarks and fish with Casey Scanlon and catch 42 pounders.
Dude, I don't disagree with that. And I think that is the model that they're going after to showcase those venues of which people can go out and catch numbers of fish.
No, yeah, I think it's 50-50.
All right. You agree with that, CJ?
I would agree. I think there's two ways to think about it. I think that from my standpoint, I live in Ohio. If I'm going to travel somewhere to go fish, I want to know that there's a better chance of me catching a fish of a lifetime than catching 100, 1 and 2 pound fish.
Yeah. I mean, but Matt and I, we've talked about it, and granted, it's different species, but same kind of theory. How many times have we went here in Oklahoma to Lake Texoma and just had an absolute blast catching 2 and 3 pound stripers?
Yep, absolutely.
It was a blast. Right.
And MLF, yeah. The only reason I said that is MLF has talked about how important the casual fan or the new fan is to them. And I think in that case, for someone who doesn't have 10, 15 years of either tournament experience or bass fishing experience behind them, if they could watch a table rock and say, oh, I could take the family here and guarantee that we all catch fish, well, then I think you're highlighting they would be more interested in numbers. I think if you ask someone who hasn't caught a bunch of fish before at all, hey, you could go out and get a bite every 10 minutes or catch 5 fish and one of them would be big, they'd go, I want to get a bite every 5 minutes.
Here, I'm gonna ask you this, CJ. After the two Table Rock events that MLF had, and forget about the second one. Let's just talk about the first one. All right. Table Rock is really known for going out and catching numbers. All three species, largemouth, smallmouth, and some of the best spotted bass in the country. When people saw that, they might have been a little knowledgeable about Table Rock Lake, but after seeing how many fish that those guys caught on Table Rock, I guarantee you probably saw an increase in the number of people that went and fished at Table Rock that may not have done that if it wouldn't have been for the numbers that were caught.
Yeah, they might have been. Honestly, we haven't watched any MLF since the first tournament because it just doesn't interest us. And I say we've got a wood shop in Columbus here, and for BTL, every time you guys are live, we got it playing in the warehouse. Every time Bass is live, we've got it playing. Every time FLW live, we've got it playing. We've tried to live the MLF format, and we always just end up searching on YouTube for random stuff.
Oh, jeez.
we just can't get into it. But that being said, we did our wood shop. We built you guys some custom hats out of Richardson 112s, and we want to get them your guys' way.
Okay,
so
cool.
Let me know how we can get them to you.
Well, here, just send an email to matt@basszone.com, and he'll send you the ship to info. That's awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Perfect.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys having us on and keep it rocking and rolling. Love what you do.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
See
you. Cheers.
All right. Very cool. I mean, we're not off base on that, dude.
No. And I think what we said was the same thing. The Elite Series is going to draw people there with Lake Fork. The MLF is going to draw people there at Table Rock. It's going to be a different clientele that is interested in going to Fork and catching the big ones, then the guys, I think you're more likely to get a family of someone who watches MLF and wants to make sure their wife and their 12-year-old daughter catch fish.
Yeah.
And they look at Lake Fork and go, that's where I want to go with my buddy for 3 days. But I'll take the family to Table Rock for 2 days, and we'll get a guide and go out, and I can feel pretty confident that they're going to enjoy fishing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. All right, back to the phones. Who is this?
This is Josh the Painter. I called y'all last online hotline.
All right. What's up, Josh?
I'm painting, as usual. But no, I had a question. Everybody's talking about the Red Crest and everything like that. But tomorrow starts the Cayuga Lake Bassmasters. And I'm a huge fantasy fishing fan, like doing the Bassmasters fantasy fishing. And I want to know how y'all think it's going to play out. Like, is it going to be like the Northern boys going to take it, or, you know, or what baits are going to be used and stuff like that?
Matt, you're what, top 50 in the world now? So you answer this.
This one's going to be a tough one. I think, like I said before, I think there's a couple safe picks there just on history. You look at guys that have had success on natural lakes up north, and it's pretty consistent that those guys catch fish time after time because those lakes don't really change a lot over decades. I mean, they've been there since the glaciers. So your guys who understand those lakes, Iaconelli has talked about it. You're talking about your Seth Fighters, your Jamie Hartmans, the Johnson brothers, you know, even like a Paul Mueller type guy, guys who have experience on those natural lakes and how they set up, I think are really going to excel in this one. And someone who's a little hard-headed, and like I said before, I think the Florida guys are going to catch him in this because that lake fishes a lot with the punching grass. We saw how Hackney has won it, how there's a lot of success. Now, there are a lot of good smallmouth. You can go up. You can throw a frog up in the northern end. You can go down. You can chase smallmouth in the southern end, but you're talking a lot of dock skipping, guys who do well on Oneida, guys who do well on those natural lakes with the pole docks on them. I think it's going to be a largemouth deal with maybe someone who makes a run at a rogue school of big smallies over like 50, 60 foot of water. But as a whole, I think those deep grass flippers who are going to do it all day are the guys who are going to come in at the end. You know, 6-7 bites a day punching a 1 ounce jig that imitates a perch or a crawfish are going to have 16 to 19, maybe a 21, 22 pound bag of largemouth, and have one or two grass patches that you know, they flipped grass for 3 days of practice and found two or three hard spots that these fish are living in.
Do you think there's going to be a huge shift in the AOI points like there was last week?
I don't know. I'm interested to see what Drew Cook does because he was leading it and he only dropped to third. Now, if I'm Drew Cook from Florida, and I'm a rookie on the Elite Series, and I go to the St. Lawrence River, and I only fall to third afterwards, I'm pretty happy with how that went.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see him maybe be a little bit more comfortable out here. He's flipped some grass in his day.
Yeah.
So,
like I said, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking I was going to probably pick the Johnson brothers because they are, like you said, they were up in the...
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other thing that's... here's another thing that's a wild card factor. So when the Elites were there last time, a lot of guys were grouped up. I was there. I watched them. You know, there'd be, I think it was like Zaldane and Faircloth were sharing an area. There's a bunch of these grass areas out there with the harder bottom or different grass or thicker grass where, you know, 5-6 guys were fishing. Then they kind of established their area. Well, 80% of those guys aren't there. So the guys who have had the history there and seen it and seen where those areas are and how it's done, if that's productive, again, I give an advantage to the guys who have seen that lake before because it is big and it is long and there's a lot of it that looks the same.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not an expert as to how that grass changes, but I'm assuming if there's hard spots in the bottom or grass, it's pretty much the same year after year up north on those natural lakes.
Yeah. I'm hoping... Like, I'm really expecting an AOI shift again.
Mm-hmm.
It's always exciting to watch, you know, people buy up for the front and
everything like that. I'm really rooting for Scott Canterbury, of course.
He's having a good year.
Like that. Do you think he'll be doing pretty good up there, or do you think he'll be...
Well, name me somewhere where he hasn't done pretty good.
Matt, let me ask you this. I believe there will be more of a mix of largemouth at Cayuga than there would be at the...
More SLR. Largemouth?
Yeah.
Oh, 100% more largemouth. I think the question on Cayuga is if the smallmouth will play.
Yeah.
The largemouth, 100% will play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll be one largemouth.
One last question. You know, I'm a fan of some of the older fishermen. Like, how do, Rick Klund's season, the way he's been fishing, he's doing pretty decent this year. Do you think he'll be doing pretty well on Cayuga, or is it a little bit out of his element?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, the dude likes nature, and that's one of the most naturey spots you can fish at.
Yeah, I don't think he's out of his element there.
No.
I think he could really do well.
Yeah, because he did actually pretty good the last tournament. He was 15th.
Yep.
And like I said, I'm a fan of the oldies. So,
who's your favorite?
But
who's your favorite?
Rick Klund's my favorite.
Okay.
It's Rick Klund and Denny Breyer. Those are the two that I grew up with. So.
All right.
And those are the ones who got me into fishing to begin with. So.
Very cool.
Here's my theory, and I said this before on a show in Fantasy Fishing. If you're doing good, if you're trying to win a league, the two Northern Swing tournaments are maintenance tournaments. They are go in, don't do anything crazy, get your points. Typically, the guys who are going to catch them are going to catch them. And then you got your wild card at Fort Gibson where you make your move at the end of the year and the Angler of the Year championship on St. Clair. But don't screw yourself in the two northern ones, because oftentimes the guys who you think are going to catch them are going to catch them. And if you shy away from those guys, you're in trouble.
Yeah, see, I ended up picking Micah Frazier and Chris Johnson last week. And I wasn't expecting Micah Frazier to come up and win the whole thing. I figured it was going to be Chris Johnson, to tell you the honest truth.
Yeah. And you and everybody else.
Yeah, it turned around, and Micah Frazier came up and won it, and I was just like, oh, I got like 1,400 or something like that.
So you were like in the top five in the world.
I was like top, I think I was number like 12 or something like that.
Yeah, wow. Get the job done.
Yeah.
I had a maintenance turn. I was like 1,100 something.
But, all right. Like I said, I have a company called Purple Cat Outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And I make jigs, and I was going to send y'all some last time, but my lead pot kind of exploded on me.
Oh, that's not
sound
good.
Safe at all.
It literally, like, I mean, it was from when my dad was working on them back in the early 90s. So it was supposed to die at some point anyhow. So,
did you get a new one?
Like I said,
you get a new one?
No, I'm actually buying one this weekend. I'm actually getting a bigger one, like much bigger. And I'd love to send y'all some jigs from when I get them out.
Cool. Yeah, just send Matt an email.
Heck yeah.
Matt@basszone.com, and he'll respond to it and get you the info. And, dude, you rock.
I got a couple jig derbies coming up, don't I, Mark?
Yeah, you do.
Like I said, my proficiency is in football jigs, like the heavier ones.
Mm-hmm.
So,
That's Mark's cup of tea.
Yeah, see, I even have my own skirt color. It's called Purple Cat.
Cool.
And it's a nice color. I'll send it on to you when I get them done.
Very awesome. Cool, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
I love your show. I listen to it every time it comes on. So, if you get the chance, I also have a podcast and a YouTube channel. So
hit us with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Purple Cat Outdoors. I just started the podcast no more than like a week ago. So
there you have it.
Purple Cat Outdoors.
If you get a chance, take a look. And like I said, y'all keep being you and being awesome. So,
all right, man.
I'll talk to y'all later.
Thanks. All right, appreciate it. All right. The Purple Bandit. Was that you that came up with that?
For Billy McHagger.
Yeah.
Yeah, Purple Cat. That's something that jig color sounds good on Table Rock.
Yes, it does. All right, we need to take a break.
Okay.
And then I'm going to leave the phone lines open. So if you want to call in, please call in during the break, and then we will go to you. So we'll be right back, everybody. Stay tuned here on a Wednesday.
Sleek new design with easy control file. The clearest images underwater with uncompromising range. Live mapping from the touchscreen. View notifications, video, even Google Maps on screen. And for the first time ever, real-time view of fish movements with Live Sight Sonar. HDS Live. New from Lowrance.
Gamagot's the G Finesse Series. In my opinion, the G Finesse Series is the only lineup of hooks you need for any fishing you do.
But I know a lot of guys haven't used this hook yet.
G Finesse Series has the nano coat on the hooks. The nano coating makes the hooks sharper, smoother, for a better hookup ratio.
20% stronger than black nickel. Wow, that is incredible. That's a lot of strength.
My Gamagot's G Finesse Series, perfect finesse fishing for you.
Check out the G Finesse series of hooks by Gamagatsu.
The heart of the Basscat experience is the pride of ownership that comes with each blast off and every precision hairpin turn. It's a rush of adrenaline driven by the total commitment to performance and the knowledge that no compromises were made building a craft that stands up to the rigors of competitive angling. Basscat combines the latest proprietary materials and building techniques with over 40 years of continuous family-run operation and our unwillingness to accept anything less than the best. Welcome to Basscat. Feel the rush.
Guys, Gerald Swindle, Sunline Pro Staff. If you're a flipper, a slack line hook setter, you're really putting a lot of impact into your hook set, look for the shooter. It comes off the smooth, really smooth. Like when you're flipping, it is smooth. If you're going to be drop shotting and cranking, sniper's the deal, man. It seems like it's a little bit less likely, like on a sharp hook set, it doesn't seem like it likes it as much, but for coming off the spool on a spinning rod, leaders, cranking, like if I'm gonna throw a big plug at Gunnersville, I've still got strong tensile strength that's not gonna give out on me, but yet the line's thin enough for it to get down. So to me, shooter takes a hook set, snipers for everything else. So if you're gonna slack line them, go shooter.
The name SPRO says it all. SPRO stands for Sports Professionals. When you look at the pro staff that SPRO has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Papa to the Little John series, when you tie a SPRO bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
AFCO has a new foul weather rain suit called the Hydronaut. A lot of the features that I really like about it first is the speed vent hood. If it's raining out, you know, how a person gets wet is when you run down the lake and the hood comes down. With the speed vent hood, it's gonna stay up. It has a camera mount in the pocket on the chest. The Hydronaut has a two-layer, 100% waterproof nylon shell. If you're interested in a rain suit that has a lot of cool features that's gonna keep you dry, you need to check out the Hydronaut from AFCO.
I got my power pole down, stuck in the mud in the bottom of the lake, sitting so still in the wind and the waves, could even be a hurricane. I got my power pole down.
It's about the hours spent getting everything just right.
It's the attention to detail. Good just isn't good enough. It's the years spent on the water day after day. When you tie on a bait by Strike King, you're standing on the shoulders of legends.
All right, we are back on a Wednesday with the Sunline Hotline Show. We've had a number of phone calls already, and we have somebody on the line now. By the way, several people on the instant feedback, Matthew, do not like the term derby for a tournament. Said a derby's a race.
Yeah. No good. No good over it. I used to not use it, too.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of guys that use it, though.
Yeah.
You know who uses it the most is Crete.
Yeah, he does.
Crete uses derby all the time.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. Mark, you there, man?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
All right, man, what's on your mind today?
Well, I mean, this weekend's a bit of a crazy one with the MLS, the Red Crest, and the Bass at Cayuga. Just kind of asking myself, like, what I'm actually going to watch this weekend. And it's funny because I know Red Crest is like the classic for MLF, but I found myself still probably, I'll probably still watch Bass Live more. And maybe it's just the format, because like I'm a local tournament angler and actually a kayak angler too. But, and I guess for me, it's just more relevant for what I do. Just with the format. Do you feel like, and I guess it's a question for you guys, like, do you feel like as far as like local tournament anglers, club anglers, you know, that fish weekends and stuff, do you feel like, I don't know, for me, just Bass feels so much more relevant for what I do than like the MLF format?
Let me ask you this, though. In your kayak tournaments, it's inches, right?
Yeah.
But it's total inches. Is it, or is it your best, the inches for your best five?
In the ones that I do, it's best five or best three, depending.
Oh, okay. So whatever your total inches, like you take your, if you have 321 inchers, even if you catch 50, it's your 321 inchers.
Right, right.
Okay, I didn't know if it was total inches or not, because I was like, well, technically, then that would almost be like fishing in MLF format if you're doing total inches, it's still best three.
Yeah, and it's not like I don't like MLF. It's because actually, like, all my favorite guys are on MLF, to be honest. But, I mean, you know, I've been a big fan of Jacob Wheeler and KVD, obviously. But, like, I don't know. Like, for me, I really thought, you know, after they all went to MLF, that I would probably watch MLF more just because those are my guys. But it's funny, like this year, I've probably watched over twice as much Bass Live as MLF. And I kind of ask myself a question, like why, you know, just because, you know, I'm like, what am I watching it for the, am I watching it for the anglers, or am I actually watching it for like the casters? Because like the team at Bass, you know, in the studio, I think I found I'm slightly addicted to them a little bit, like Zona and Tommy Sanders and Debbie Height. I mean, to be honest, I'm like, I could just listen to them talk about fishing. I mean, I'm just like, I guess what some of the stuff they were doing at the St. Lawrence even just kind of reminded me of it, like what Zona was doing on the water and just how they interacted. And I'd have to say it's a little bit hard to like move past them even, like, and they've kind of got me like even hooked on some of the new guys that have come in, and I'm like, that really surprised me, honestly, because at the beginning of the year I really didn't think that would happen. But
yeah, hey Mark,
I think
let me ask you this. Let me ask you a couple things. First, let me say this before I ask you. Change is a very difficult thing for people to adapt to. And the format has been around for a while based upon their made-for-TV stuff. But from a spectacle, from a tournament that is at the forefront, it has been very difficult for a lot of people to adapt to the change in the format. Now, will that change over time? I we'll see. I mean, we shall see.
Right.
But I think you said one very, very important thing, that it becomes very difficult for the weekend guy, for the tournament guy, to be able to relate to what is taking place, because the availability, the availability, not that it's not taking place, because it is across the nation, but the availability to relate and actually participate in the MLF style of format is just not out there in the masses, and change becomes very difficult. Logistically, it's hard to do right now because of the way that it would work. And I think they are, when I say they, MLF, they're working on some technology type of stuff that might be able for people to adapt to it without having to go through a large amount of resources and people to be able to function the same way by utilizing technology. I don't know. But at the same time, the biggest task, I've said this for years now, the biggest task for Major League Fishing is to get that established to where the weekend guy can relate to it, can participate in it, and create opportunity to where somebody can truly say right now, hey, I want to be on the BPT. Right now, they don't have a way to do that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, there's no fantasy fishing. There's really not an avenue for that. But, yeah, and that's definitely my point, is it's definitely like the local tournament anglers, the club anglers, the guys that fish that, you know, the bass format, because that is obviously the most dominant format right now. I mean, it has been for as long as we've known bass fishing, really. It's like, yeah, that's definitely more my point, is it's like, how can they make it more relevant for those guys, you know? And I know they're marketing it to maybe a different sector of people, maybe people that haven't fished or don't fish much. And that's cool. Like, it's really cool, and I still watch it. But, you know, when it comes to, like, what's actually relevant for what I do, it's like, you know, I'm still probably going to watch Bass Live just because, you know, that's what's relevant for me.
All right, man. Anything else?
Yeah, man. No, I mean, I think that's it. I mean, I guess it was just more of a question of like, am I wrong for like feeling like
I have a way to solve this. I have a way to solve this, and I've yet to talk about this on the show. But this is the end-all, be-all. If you're struggling between Bass and MLF and the BPT, get a piece of paper, just draw a big box in
it.
This is called the Box of Allegiance. On one corner, write education. On the cata corner, write entertainment. On the other cata corner, write relatability. And on the other cata corner, write innovation. Then make a mark wherever that stands in between there. And that'll kind of tell you where you stand in it. It's called the Box of Allegiance.
Yeah.
Because you have education versus entertainment.
Yeah.
And you have relatability versus innovation. And
that's
different
true.
People find different aspects more important to them.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, why you're seeing some guys lean towards bass and other guys lean towards FLW and bass, and some and other guys lean towards MLF. But
yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, totally.
All right, Mark.
Yeah, I think that,
All right,
that's
man.
Great.
Appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Appreciate your show, man.
All right, man. Thank you. All right, there you have it. He was in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm. You like that? The Box of Allegiance?
Yeah, there's one other one that I think you need to throw in there.
What's that?
I guess you don't have any five-sided.
What is a five-sided?
Five-sided geometrical object.
No. Why? What
or
is
make
that?
It the octagon or a paragon or anyway, is opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, yeah. That's, but I think opportunity could fall into the relatability clause, the relatability one. You relate to something, you have an opportunity.
No, I think a lot of people out there can relate to the five fish format that.
Yeah. because they have the opportunity to fish it. Relatability.
Well, I was looking. That's two definitions of opportunity.
Before we get to the next call, I would like to point out that Merriam-Webster defines the noun derby as a race or contest open to all comers or a specified category of contestants. So I do believe that.
Oh, derby might work.
The derby would work. It also is any of several horse races held annually.
There you have it.
Restricted to three-year-olds and also a man's stiff felt hat with a dome shape, crown, and narrow brim.
All right, phone lines are open. We're going to be able to take a few more calls. I did get an email real quick, Matthew, from a longtime watcher, listener, Jim, and he actually had the comment yesterday about not putting the names up on Score Tracker, and that seemed to get a lot of positive feedback.
Yeah,
any other thoughts?
I really liked it. I had never really even thought of that.
Yeah.
But it would definitely curtail the issue of, oh, there's X angler, Y angler who's absolutely smashing them, and I'm going to drive around and find him. Now it's, oh, there's so-and-so. I wonder if he's got 2 or if he's got 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't change the way you fish because you're still relative to that weight. Now you're taking the human element out about it as how much you stalk another guy and know about him and where he fishes and his tendencies, which actually enhances the purity of your day on the water because now you're not looking at other anglers and knowing what they do.
There's nothing to influence.
There's no influence.
Yeah.
And they are billed as the purest form of competitive bass fishing, so I'm all for taking the names next to it. Now, still on the Score Tracker, you can have the names.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The only thing it'll change is now when the official runs it down, he would say first place 29 pounds, second place 27 pounds, third place 26 pounds.
I like that a lot.
Cut weight is 19 pounds. Now you don't, and now you also don't have to listen to officials rename everybody a million times.
Yeah.
Now the anglers, instead of having to run through all the names, because that's why they have them run down all the names so they can figure out who's where and why and who they've seen and where they've seen them practice. Now they just say, what's cut weight? What's leading? What am I in? Boom. Snapshot.
That idea is great. Jim, you hit a home run with that.
Literally does not change anything from a production standpoint because we still know exactly what they have. Now you're even more engaged because now you know something that they don't.
Yeah.
What is one of the big keys when you watch poker? You get a guy who's drawing dead and goes all in, and you're like, oh, we know something that he doesn't know.
He's trying to bluff, and he's dead meat.
Yeah, you know, that's like, you know, Mike McClellan has a 20-pound lead throwing a jerkbait, and someone's going, someone has 15 pounds? I bet they're flipping. Well, if they knew it was Mike McClellan, they'd be like, I need to go throw a jerkbait, and you're sitting there going, nope, you guessed wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Great, great idea, concept, Jim. You hit a home run with that one. All right, let's go back to the phones. Hey, who is this?
Hey, this is Chris in Colorado.
Chris, how are you, man? What's up today?
Oh, man, just listening to the show. Thanks for having the hotline on today.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had two quick points. I think the first one you're going to shoot down pretty quick. If MLF really cares about fish care, why don't they let them use a nice rubber fish-friendly net so they're not getting hooks in their hands, they don't got to catch the line? I mean, it's crazy. I think they catch the line and they just hope the fish doesn't flop on the deck. If they really care about the fish, use a net.
I think they're doing a good job from a fish care standpoint.
I mean, it's a valid point if you have scientific proof. If there's some study out there that shows that the fish are healthier when netted as opposed to when swung, you might have a point, but I don't know about it. I don't know.
I have no idea. I know it's probably rougher on the angler than it is.
Yeah, certainly they would have healthier, you know, less hooks in the hand and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. What else, man?
The other thing was about Corey Johnston's late penalty, and same thing happened to Andy Montgomery at the Classic. How can these guys be relying on one piece of equipment to tell them the time? They should have a watch. They should have a cell phone. They should have their Marshall's watch. One piece of equipment is all you're going to use.
Hey, I agree 100% with that. Jeff Creed.
Couldn't agree more.
I mean, we talk about Jeff Creed a lot. But one thing that Jeff Crete does, what does he do on his hand?
He writes his time.
He writes his time, and he looks at three different time devices that he has.
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
I will set an alarm on my phone for an hour before check-in. I have my GPS, and then I'll even ask my co-angler, you know, what time you got when we move, not make them stop fishing and look, but when we move, and then I guess I'm probably a little paranoid of it because I'm checking it like every 3 minutes within half an hour of having to come in.
Yeah. Hey, it happens. It happens. Yep. I mean, how many times, kind of unrelated, but at the same time.
You see a guy with six fish.
Yeah, you see guys come in with six fish.
And you're like, dude, all you have to do is, I'm out of cull bubbles.
I know. So I don't know,
all
Chris.
Right.
That's a great point, though.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah.
Now, I could understand Corey Johnson a little bit more. You're talking about trolling motor falling off the boat. You've waited for this tournament on your home derby. Your boat's broken down. You've had to switch boats. You've got Zona watching you. You're expected to catch them. You're catching them late in a flurry. I can understand how you could lose track of time there. I really could.
Yeah.
That's like eight different things happening. Oh, by the way, you're fishing for $100,000 and you got a camera on.
Do you wear a watch?
No.
How many guys wear watches?
I know Skeet wears a Rolex, I think, and David Walker wears a Rolex.
Really?
Oh, yeah, like an actual Rolex while they fish. Yeah.
Well, and I think you should wear a watch.
I think a lot of guys just wear... some of those guys wear the Garmin deals, like the watch.
How many of them do you think strictly depend on either their phone or their electronics?
You'd be surprised at how many just look at their electronics. See, I don't have it on my electronics.
What? You don't have it set up?
I have one. I have a screen like where the time is, but like up front and stuff. No, yeah. I don't want a clock up there. I don't want to know what the time is. I don't want to be making decisions based on time. I want to be making decisions based on feel. So if I'm looking at it and I'm going, oh, I haven't had a bite here for half an hour, but it still feels right. Well, now that's affecting me. You know, I want to go back and go, holy cow, it's only 8:30. If you watch my AFCO Bass Boot Camps, you'll see I did that. At Kentucky Lake, I went back and I went, it's 9:31? I thought it was like 11, right? Because it wasn't, and then other times you look and you go, holy cow, it's 1.
So you fish different if you know what time it is?
100% really? Of the time, yeah. Yeah.
Huh. That's weird, because when I was really, really into it and I was fishing a bunch of tournaments, mm-hmm. I mean, many years ago, I went to Walmart and I bought one of those digital...
And you put it right there.
I put it right there because I did not want to be late.
I don't want to know what time it is until there's an hour left, because I feel like it's an outside influence that's going to affect my decision making and make either it's going to A, make me fish lackadaisical because it's early and I've got a good limit, or B, freak out because time is passing and I'm not catching them.
Yeah.
So I want it to be as organic as possible, my decision making up front.
All right, we are going to take one more phone call, and then we're going to wrap things up. Next week, hopefully, will be another Champions Week. Hopefully, we will be able to get the winners from the Costa, the winner from either one of the Elite Series events, and then hopefully the champion of the first Red Crest. So that's kind of the goal next week, Matthew.
There you go.
Somebody on the instant feedback said, Chris from Ohio wants to know, is there any... he referred to it as Nielsen ratings for live streaming to determine what the statistical data is for the number. And the answer to that is there is, but it's kind of a obscure calculation that is not very accurate. The only way you can get true accuracy between comparing element versus element versus element is if you have specific coding that gets tracked the exact same way that is placed on the website to get true numbers. Now, I do know this, Matthew. There are some sponsors out there that actually request and actually have a specific code that is placed on certain websites to where they can track that. So I believe out there that there are certain sponsors that absolutely 100% know the difference in all three organizations. Publicly, no, there's nothing out there. Like, they don't come out with Nielsen ratings on, you know, this is 100,000 views or whatever. There is stuff out there that you can search and look at it, but it is nowhere near where it needs to be from an accuracy standpoint. Kind of pie in the sky stuff. All right. Let's see here. Looking at the instant feedback. All right, guys, we need one more phone call, and we will wrap things up for today. Matt says pyramid has five sides, right? Is that right?
A pyramid? I believe that's a triangle.
If you count the bottom side. One, two, three. One. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah. Two and
yeah,
two
but
and one.
That's a three-dimensional object.
Yeah. I mean, typically when you're using a pyramid to illustrate something, it's up in tiers. It's a flat pyramid. It's not three-dimensional.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what do you got planned this weekend, Matthew? More rodeo stuff?
No, I'm going to go hang out with the parents on Friday. They're going to be in Springfield, Missouri, at a antique tool convention. They live a very, lead a very exciting life. So we might go to the Johnny's aquarium, check out a couple of his pet fish.
You've done that before.
Yeah, well worth it. And then I haven't thought that far ahead. I'd like to get the boat on the water.
You still haven't done that yet, huh? Still working on that.
Still working on that.
All right. Well, I guess we're not going to get our last phone call. Everybody is intrigued in watching MLF, which you need to be watching it. See what's going on. History in the making.
That's what they're saying.
Well, it is. It is history. The first one.
It is. Seriously,
it
is.
I mean, it really is history. It's the first one. So.
I wasn't trying to be smart.
That's what they're saying.
But that is what they're saying.
That came off very pontous.
It did. It did beat it like that. Like, no, like that's a lot of the guys are saying, hey, history of the make it here. This is the first
it
Red
is.
Crest is what I meant. That I was. It came off. Came off very flippant. Yeah. It's towed there, but it 100% is history. Pretty much, I mean, really anything that they've done this year is history because it's the first year of it.
Yeah. All right. Cool stuff.
Who do you got? You can do it. It's early in the day. We haven't really looked at the leaderboard. Who do you have out of the 30 guys? Pick your Red Crest winner.
Michael Neal.
Michael Neal.
Yeah. Who do you got?
I think Wheeler.
Okay.
Wheeler keeps on. I think Wheeler, he becomes his world after this week.
Might be already his world. Who knows? One of the superstars in the game right now. All right, I want to thank everybody for taking part in the Sunline Hotline Show. Good stuff. We will be back on Monday. Hopefully next week will be another edition of Champions Week. All kinds of stuff to continue to discuss here on BTL.
Who you got on Cayuga?
Man. I'm thinking. Hang on. I'm going down in this mental image here of who I have on Cayuga. Tell you what. Brian Snowden.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, Brian Snowden. I'm thinking largemouth with a mixture of smallmouth. He can do it all. He's had decent performances there before. Had a great week last week. He's going to put together two really good back-to-back tournaments. I like Snowden.
Nice. I think Zaldane uses a combination of punching with his experience on the Delta and Clear Lake, drop-shotting deep grass edges, and a mega bass swim bait to get a regular season Elite Series win.
All right. We shall see all kinds of stuff. Make sure you check out all the live action on Major League Fishing and on Bassmaster.com for the Elite Series. Folks, we will be back hopefully next week, Champions Week, Monday, 8:30 a.m. right here. Everybody, we're out of here.